Thanksgiving. It's not because I don't like turkey, because I do. We eat it year round. It's because how many sermons can you preach on Thanksgiving? And how many times can you say, remember now, give thanks to God? It's a very difficult time to preach, as far as I'm concerned, and so I don't like Thanksgiving for that reason. So there's two men, and they're walking through a field one day, and they were spotted by an enraged bull, and they spotted the bull the same time the bull spotted them. And instantly, the two men darted towards the nearest fence. Running behind them was a storming bull following in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent to the two men that they weren't going to make the fence. Terrified, the one shouted to his friend, "Put up a prayer, John, we're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life. I don't pray out loud." "Do it now," implored his companion. "The bull's catching us." So John panted and said, "Oh, all right, I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to say at the kitchen table. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful." Two of the most gracious words in the world are thank you. And when they're offered from a heart that is truly thankful, they're very meaningful to God. I taught my kids, all six of them, from the time they could talk onwards, that they needed to say thank you when they were helped or given something or somebody did something nice for them. So they would say thank you. And the person would say, "You're welcome." You notice that that's disappeared? Most people don't say thank you anymore. And if you do say thank you, they say no problem. Whatever happened to "you're welcome"? It disappeared. I want to say so badly when they say, "Oh, no problem." I want to say, "I know it's not a problem. I didn't think it was a problem. I just wanted to thank you." The psalmist declares, it's in your notes, "Enter his gates with," you can underline it, "thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." And I hope we do that on more than Thanksgiving weekend. I hope we do that more than just before the main meal of the day. My thank you list to the Lord could be endless. So could yours. Number of times he's rescued my butt. Number of times he's opened doors. Number of times he's protected me from bombs that have gone off overseas. But we need to make sure that it's not just at this special time of the year that we are giving thanks to God. Obviously, most people go away on Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm sure they're not thinking about special times of thanks to God. They're thinking of family time, maybe, and party time, but James in the New Testament said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift. And the greatest gift that we have to thank God for is
Jesus Christ,
or salvation through Jesus Christ. The fact that we can get out of bed in the morning and we can know that we're good to go. Good with God and good to go for the day. And if we were to die, good to go to heaven. Salvation, I think, is the greatest reason we should be thankful people. And Paul said the same thing. Thanks be to God. And you can underline thanks again. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And he's talking about Jesus and the gift of salvation through Jesus. So I was thinking about all this on Monday while I was flying. The airplane was flying. I wasn't. I tried it once. It didn't work. What did Jesus give thanks for? So I read through the Gospels, and I found that Jesus really just gave thanks in three different situations. Number one, he gave thanks for food. Good thing to do. So let's read it. Matthew 15. Directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. The disciples had a problem at this point. There was this multitude of people, And there was 5 loaves and some fish. They don't say how many fish. The loaves are really buns. So like 5 dinner buns, not 5 loaves of French bread, 5 little dinner buns, and probably a salted or smoked fish, which is a delicacy, by the way, in Kazakhstan. So the disciples looked at the resources, realized they were inadequate, and panicked. But Jesus intended to use those limited resources, 7 dinner buns and a few small fish, to feed a multitude. When the Bible says there's a multitude, that means too many to number. So the thousands, and in other places in the Bible it says 4,000, some places it says 5,000. This time it just said multitude. And so Jesus has this attitude of gratitude. He prays and he gives thanks to God the Father. Here's the key: for what they had. It wasn't sufficient. It wasn't enough. In the sight of everything that was needed, it was far from being enough. But he gave thanks for what he had, not what he wanted. And too often we talk to God about what we want, and we don't thank him for what we have. We live in luxury compared to most of the rest of the world. And I don't think I'm thankful enough that I get out of bed in a warm house for 3 days this week. We didn't, because the motor and the fan and the furnace wasn't working. So now I'm thankful. I got up this morning, it was hot in the house. We have so many things to be thankful for compared to everywhere else in the world. They thanked God for what they had, and in so doing, they released the power of God, who multiplied these meager resources and met the needs of the multitude. But the key is, give thanks for what you have. And as they did that, God's miraculous power was revealed. Can you imagine the disciples as they walk around and they have just one little dinner roll, one each, and a piece of the fish, and they keep peeling off pieces of this, and it keeps coming. It doesn't stop until they run out of people. So God did a terrific series of miracles because Jesus thanked the Father for what he had, as meager as it may be. Do we give thanks to God for what we have? Not everybody gives thanks. There was this godly father, farmer. He was asked to dine with a well-known gentleman down the street. And while there, he asked the blessing at the table, because that's what he was accustomed to do in his own home. And his host jeered at him and said, "That's old-fashioned. That is really old-fashioned. It is not customary nowadays for well-educated people to pray before they eat." And the farmer responded that with him it was customary. But some of those on his farm never prayed over their food. And his host said, "Well then, they're sensible and enlightened. Who are they?" And the farmer responded, "My pigs." We need to give thanks for what we have. Secondly, Jesus said thank you for answered prayer. In John chapter 11, Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. This is the story of Lazarus, his friend who's died 4 days before. This tomb was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me." The key there, and I have never seen it before, is that Jesus lifted his eyes up. We're so busy looking at the problem instead of looking up to the solution. We're too busy telling God how big the mountain is instead of talking to the mountain and telling him how big our God is. So Jesus lifted his eyes up, took his eyes off the problem. The problem was somebody who'd been dead for 4 days and smelled. And he said to the God, I thank you that you hear me. Do you ever thank God for answered prayer? Do you keep track of your prayers? I learned a long time ago, somebody taught me, to have a prayer journal. And it's a simple little book, and I just write down the things I pray for. And I thought, this is a total waste of my time, after I'd been doing it for about a year. And then I realized the purpose of keeping track of what I prayed for was to go back and look at all those things I prayed for and tick off the ones God had answered. Because often God will answer the prayer and you forgot you prayed it. And so you don't thank him for the answered prayer. And so for the last 40 years, I've kept prayer journals. And I go back and I tick my... God answers prayer. And like Jesus, I've begun to thank him for answered prayer much more than I've ever done before. So Jesus didn't look at the problem. He looked at the solution, which was his Father. And he thanked his Father for hearing him pray about the need that was in front of him. And we need to do the same. So thanksgiving for Jesus expressed his unshakable assurance that God heard and answered his prayers. While I was thinking through all this, I literally think God showed me that prayer is a privilege. Answered prayer is a blessing. And God said in Jeremiah 33, call on me, I will answer you. That's a promise. I think we just don't call often enough. We don't lift our eyes up over our problems often enough. Not only will he answer us, but he'll tell us great and unsearchable things that at this point we don't know. So I think we need to just stop every once in a while and thank God our Father for the prayers he has answered in our lives. I don't know about you, but he's rolled a lot of big stones away from places that I've been. This is a true story. The one about the pigs wasn't, and the one about the bulls wasn't. There was a short-term mission trip taken by a pastor in the States. His name's Jack Hinton, and he was leading worship. He was on the island of Tobago, and he was in a leper colony. And there was over 1,000 lepers in this colony, and a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit while Jack was preaching, came time for the worship, this woman turned around to face him. And this is what he wrote. It was the most hideous face I had ever seen. This woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. Then he writes, she lifted a fingerless hand in the air and asked, can we sing, count your many blessings? Hinton, by the way, left the service. He lost it emotionally. And he was followed out by a young team member who said, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again. And he replied, yes, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way. We need to count our blessings. God has answered a lot of prayer. You're sitting in a building that God built. He answered prayer. I don't think we thank him enough. Thirdly, Jesus said, thank you for Calvary's cross. Luke 22. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles were with him. And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover. That always amazes me. He is eating the last meal of his life on the earth. And he knows it's symbolizing his death on the cross, and yet he earnestly desired to eat it before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. When Jesus instituted what we now call the Lord's Supper, he gave thanks twice. He thanked God before breaking the bread, and he thanked God before drinking the cup. He thanked God for his crucified body, and he thanked God for his shed blood on the cross. He was thankful that he was suffering for the salvation of souls. He pushed past his preference to let that cup pass and died on the cross because he valued you and I. And he gave thanks just before he did it. He thanked his Father for the opportunity to suffer so that we wouldn't have to. That is amazing. Remember, he's God. He's a human being. And he thanked his Father. When we take communion, there's really three things we're remembering, and I wrote them in for you. We're looking back in faith, remembering the cross. So during communion, we should be thankful for his willingness to die on the cross, thankful for everything he accomplished by dying on the cross and through his resurrection. It becomes so commonplace. Every church I go to and every nation I work in, people celebrate communion. And it just becomes, oh well, it's communion. There's something really wrong with Ralph when it comes to communion, and I can think, well, it's just another communion service. We should be so thankful, because without that one act on that one Friday, we'd all be going to hell. So we look back in faith, remembering the cross and all that was accomplished. Communion looks ahead in hope as it waits for the day that we'll eat with the Lord in the kingdom. He said, I'm not going to do this again until the kingdom comes in its fullness. But one day we're going to sit with Jesus at this huge banquet and do it again. So we should be thanking God for the hope we have. Do you live with hope? I was talking to an intern. I went to my doctor the other day, and she said, do you mind being seen by my intern? And I thought, no, the last time my doctor had an intern, he was better than you were, so yes, I'll go to the intern. And the young lady was talking with me, and within a minute, we were talking about Jesus, because she asked me what I did, and it's always an open door. And she turns out to be a born-again Christian, goes to a church in Regina called Compass Church, which I know. And she is working towards a medical degree and then into psychology, so that she can help battered kids and single moms and street people who are in the sex trade. And then we began to talk about giving people hope. That's what Jesus did. That's what communion does. It reminds us that we have hope, that no matter how awful things get, there's hope, because you're going to go to heaven. And I'm not very thankful about that. So I made a decision when I wrote this the other day that I'm going to start thanking God for the hope that we have. Because I work with a lot of people who have no hope. The government doesn't give them hope. There's no social security net. There's nothing. They have no hope. You have no job. You have no food. You have no nothing. And there's no hope. And we have all this hope. We have all this possibility. So I'm preaching to myself. Thirdly, when Jesus gives thanks for the Lord's Supper, when he instituted it, it should remind us that we should be giving thanks as we look back through the tunnel of time. All through history, people have been eating the Lord's Supper and keeping the gospel true, and passing it on from generation to generation. People have believed this for over 2,000 years, and if they had not passed this on, we wouldn't have it. And I don't thank God enough for that one either. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we need to be thankful for all those who lost their lives so we could have a Bible, who lost their lives so that we could have the gospel. We When I was thinking about the Lord's Supper, I was thinking, you know, we fight about it. The one thing that should bring us together in unity is the one thing that divides us between denominations and different groups within denominations. Jesus didn't say, teach it. Jesus didn't say, think about it. Jesus didn't say, argue over it. Jesus just simply said, do it. Do it and remember me. Boy, we've messed it up, haven't we? Religion can get so messy. So Jesus was grateful and thankful for three things. I couldn't see any others in the scriptures where that word was used. One, he thanked God for food. Two, answered prayer. And three, his own death on the cross. And we should do likewise. So let me suggest to you, here are the ways we can give thanks to God. I came back this morning from walking the dog, and down the hall I could hear my wife doing number one. She was singing. She sits in her study. She had a little den. We had six bedrooms because we had six kids, so now we have a den, a sewing room, a painting room, and all. You know, it just, she took each one over when they all left. So she has this den down the hall. She's sitting at her den desk, and she's banging a tambourine, singing praises to God, giving him thanks. It's amazing. The change in the atmosphere of the house when that happens. So we can give thanks to God by singing to him. Psalm 147, sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God. I don't sing well unless David's leading and I can stand right by the speaker there and I can sing real loud then. I don't sing well, I just sing loud. I make a joyful noise. It's okay. God likes a joyful noise. So I don't sing in my office without closing the door first. Okay, next one underneath that. Shout with joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. So we can give him thanks by singing to him. Secondly, we give him thanks simply by praying to him. Give thanks to the Lord and pray to him. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And it will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The third way we can thank him is by giving to him. And again, it's a lot of scripture. Let's just read the first two. Give an offering to show thanks to God. Give him what you promised. And then secondly, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So when we're putting our tithes, our offerings in the basket, in the plate at the back, we are seriously giving thanks to God for everything he has given to us, because everything you have, he gave to you. And it is so neat that he lets you keep 90%. Because he could ask you to give 90%, because it's his. And then the fourth way we do it is by sharing our testimony about him. Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the world about his wondrous love and how mighty he is. Be very careful to never forget what you have seen God doing for you. May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren, about the glorious miracles he did. And in Colossians, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. And the one I hate, 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances. It gets worse. There's another one where Paul writes, for all circumstances, give thanks. I have trouble with that one, so I didn't put it in the notes. I can do it in the circumstance, but not always for it. Amen? Let me tell you one more story. It's found in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in prison, and they are in the stock market. They're in stocks and bonds. Poor joke. Never mind. and they're singing. They're singing praises to God. In spite of the fact that they're almost beaten to death before they were put in prison. And as they sing praises to God, they give thanks to God for the beating they just had. An earthquake hits the jail, and the power of God releases them. And as a result, everyone gets saved. The jailer, his household, some of the other prisoners. There's power in giving God thanks. If I had been Paul or Silas, I'd been sitting there in stocks and bonds. I would have been negative. I'm trying to say it nice. I would have been very negative. I would have been sitting there feeling sorry for myself, saying, here I am doing what Jesus wanted me to do, and look what happened to me, and now I've got to sit here and suffer. And come on, you do the same. They thanked Jesus for what they had to suffer. Interesting. Jesus thanked God for what he was about to suffer. And it released the power of God in Acts 16. So I'm beginning to realize there's a lot more thankfulness that I personally need in my life. I don't know where you're at on that level of giving thanks, but I think on a scale of 1 to 10, I was probably a 4, and I'm going to aim a lot higher. And not just because it's Thanksgiving weekend, because I don't thank God for joy. So pray with me. Father, we thank you. We really do thank you. It's not just words. We thank you from the very bottom of our hearts for Jesus, your Son, for his life, his death, his resurrection. We thank you that because of his death on the cross of Calvary, his broken body, his shed blood, we can have our sins forgiven. We can walk in divine health. We can have a relationship with the God who created us, who gave us life. We can know your plan and your purpose for our lives. And we can walk in peace with you and have the peace of God that passes all understanding in all circumstances. Father, I ask that you help me, help us learn how to give thanks at all times, in all circumstances, for all circumstances. Help us to be thankful, generous in our thanks to you, to each other, and to those who don't know you. Help us to exhibit thankful hearts in all that we do in our lives, our words, our actions, our thoughts. Help us to truly, truly, deeply live in thanksgiving to our God. I thank you that the Bible sets forth 4 different ways that we can thank you, and I ask that you would help us to be creative and find other ways to thank you. And we ask in Jesus' name that this would be something that would grow in us so that others would notice that we're different, and that we're different because you live in us, and that others would want to know all about you because of it. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Good. Well, I hope you enjoy your turkey. We've already had ours. When I left, I was making turkey soup, so that is good. I make good soup. So, offering plates at the back, please, if you brought your tithes and offerings. We're not in a rush to go. You want to come up and make an announcement?
For the ladies?
Yes. Okay.
So if you don't think that Valencia or the church records have your cell phone and you're not keeping it secret, let Valencia know the cell phone number, please, so we can text you.